Hello, friends, and welcome to the most important week in history. Not of the year, all history. It's called Holy Week, as in a week like no other. It is the final week of Jesus' life on earth, and the Bible dedicates 30 chapters to it. That's a third of the content in all four Gospels. This is a big one. So here's our plan. You and I are going to follow Jesus day by day through Holy Week, Sunday to Sunday, in his footsteps. After all, Jesus said, "Follow me." So here we are. We begin on Palm Sunday. It is springtime in Israel in the third decade AD, and the small towns around Jerusalem are teeming with people who've made the long journey to celebrate the Passover together, just 4 days away. Jerusalem, the city of God, the city chosen by the Lord to establish his throne forever, the throne to rule the kingdom of God. The Israelites know these promises well, but they don't see it, not yet. Israel has no king, not their own. Caesar Augustus rules from Rome, a self-proclaimed god who rules with heavy taxes and peace at the end of a blood-stained sword. Locally, a wicked tyrant named Herod has dominion over the lands of Israel, and God's people wait. Where is the righteous rule of the Lord? Where is the promised king? The Passover celebration will remind them, most pointedly, that their God saves, that he delivers from oppression, and that he brings freedom. He did it before, would he do it again? And this is where we begin, on Sunday. Have you ever heard the saying, "This is the day the Lord has made"? It's a quote from Psalm 118, and if you read the psalm carefully, there are clues that suggest that God is talking about a very specific day. "This is the day" is a promise of a particular day, in which the plans and promises of God all come together. If ever there was a red-letter date on God's wall calendar, Palm Sunday is it. So let's start in at Matthew 21, verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me." So Jesus is making arrangements. Clearly, he has a plan here. It's the first time we see Jesus coordinating anything like this. And for the occasion, Jesus asks his disciples to get a donkey with her colt, a grand entrance on a little donkey. So Matthew explains, this was not a decision in the moment. It was prophesied. Verse 4, "This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." That quote comes from Zechariah 9, written about 5 centuries earlier. It was written to Israel as a sign to watch for, so they would recognize, just as it says, "when your king comes to you." Your king. That's important. That is the reason that this one day in all history is so big. Your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey. It's a profound statement. A gentle king. He's the son of God. He could have ridden a dragon if he wanted to. But he chose a donkey. In biblical times, a king would ride a donkey as a sign of peace. Now in verse 6, the disciples head off to fetch the donkey and find everything just as Jesus predicted. Now that's just a little prediction. But there's a lot more going down on this day than one little prophecy. The entire Passover celebration is prophetic in nature. We'll see more of that later in the week. But what about Palm Sunday? Well, there's the Zechariah passage, and then Psalm 118 gives some strong hints about this day. But then there is one big one, Daniel chapter 9, the 70 weeks of Daniel. Some call it the backbone of Bible prophecy, or God's timepiece. And that massively important prophecy points to this one day, exactly this day. Some prophecies are vague in their timing. This one is pinpoint precise. Written about 6 centuries earlier, Daniel recorded a prophecy from the angel Gabriel with God's timeline and God's plan for his people Israel. The timeline to put an end to sin, to make atonement, set right with God, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. Now I will resist the temptation to dive into the details of Daniel 9, though they are amazing. But I do encourage you to check it out. We have audio guides through Daniel on Through the Word. But for now, just know that this is the day. God gave his people an exact timeline. This is the day that your king comes to you. There are certain events that are by their very nature weightier than others. This story is downright heavy, as in space-time continuum heavy. Verse 7. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" The crowds are quoting Psalm 118 in their cheers, and the word Hosanna literally means "save now." It is a cry for victory, a cry for help and rescue. If ever you have been so overwhelmed by your troubles that you couldn't even put together words to pray, Hosanna is a good prayer. God help, God rescue, God save now. But it isn't just a cry of desperation. It is hope. It is a victory cry in faith. The Savior has arrived. Hosanna to the Son of David. They know the Savior is the promised one, the king in the line of David. Now this is key. The people want a king, and a king they have. But what do they expect from this king? They want salvation. They shout praise for a king. But within a week, they will shout a very different cry. We have no king but Caesar. And the man to whom they shouted Hosanna will hang on a cross with a post above his head that reads, King of the Jews. What was it that the people wanted in their king that Jesus did not offer? Perhaps they wanted immediate rescue, a political revolutionary to defeat their oppressors, rule justly, and lower taxes. People always want lower taxes. We are often prone to want our outside issues fixed when God is more interested in fixing the inside first. Jesus gives us a little insight and pours out his own heart for these people in Luke's record of the story. In Luke 19, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes." There it is again, this day. God told them the day. If you had only known on this day what would bring you peace. Jesus came to bring peace, not the way the world brings peace, forced from the outside, or drugged and intoxicated on the inside, but real peace. We'll see more as the week moves on. But these people missed it. Why? Jesus explains, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. They missed the date. Have you ever missed a day so big and you couldn't go back? This is the day the Lord has made. Don't miss it. Read Matthew 21 today. Join in the grand entrance and shout with the crowds. And if you like, check out the other passages in Psalm 118, Daniel 9, and Luke 19. And stay with us this week as we follow in the footsteps of Christ through the biggest week in history.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.